Hi everyone, welcome to episode 6 of the AF Golf Academy Coach Fit Play podcast. This one's coming live from isolation. You're going to be listening to Dean Saunders, one of our senior PGA professionals, and myself, Alan Fletcher, as we chew the fat on some coaching that we've seen this year, and just some sort of waffle and thoughts on coaching. So have a listen in and check us out. Hi Dino, so we're here with first isolation podcast, bud. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. So good chance to phone in and catch up and hopefully give the listeners something to think about while we're in lockdown. How you been?
Yeah, been Joe Wixon every morning with the kids. I ache a little bit. Been doing a bit of running. Been doing a bit of reading, as we do. Obviously getting a bit frustrated that we can't do any coaching. But it is what it is, and we have to deal with that.
Yes, 100%. So I think one of the things we were sort of talking about today was what have you seen so far on the lesson team? What sort of habits have you seen people get into? What are their practice habits so far? What have you seen this year? Obviously, for you, your coaching environment's changed dramatically. You've moved from a private members club 100% of the time to now doing what, 90-10 in your split. So kind of how has that changed your coaching? Is there anything that you think you've seen differently, done differently? I mean, we can go all over the place with this today.
I've seen a lot more, obviously, fresh faces, new faces. Seen a lot of faces that I know. Being the new establishment is more local to where I live. People's practice habits is one that always fascinates me massively, because people will always want to sort of say, yeah, I want to practice, I want to get into it. And you know as well as I do, being a golf coach, you can see that people that have tried hard or put the effort in or just communications in between lessons. But it's the quick fix that people want. They want to get better quicker. But unless they're actually putting that hard work in.
And what do you see on the range? Like what in terms of, like you said there, you're seeing some new faces and stuff, but obviously one of the sites we have now is a driving range. And do you notice that your coaching then is more geared around to full swing, or you kind of lean towards that? Are you finding players are kind of wanting that because the environment's driving full swing?
Yes and no. Obviously, I find myself doing more putting and short game, I would say, with other clients that are coming to see me for that. But yeah, as a driving range, it is swing. Everyone wants to stand down the range and blast driver. But we are fortunate to have the facility that we have there with the indoor studio and obviously Sand Putt Lab and in the putting area. It is a lot of people coming in and are more interested in that. I've been in contact with a few clients in this period, this downtime period, and they're looking at they want to get going now. One thing that does fascinate me is training aids. The amount of people on the range that you see use training aids, or they have them in their bags and they don't use them. That part.
What sort of thing are you kind of give the listeners some sort of context around that? Then are you just talking, you know, some magic clicky device or a magic glove
you only have to look down the range and you can see people have got either the orange whips in their bag or alignment sticks in their bag, and they'll be in their bag and they'll be on the range, they're hitting shots, where some of them you've worked with them using sticks to sort of give them visual clues on, I don't know, whether it's where the club should be at a certain position or a rotation or anything like that. And if you go by, everyone says sort of says hi to you when you're going in between lessons and stuff. But obviously they're your clients and your pupils, so you're watching them, what they're doing, and you're like, yeah, we didn't do that in the lesson. And then they'll come back for the next lesson. You say, how'd you get on? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I've done this, or yeah, it's good. I've done X, Y, or Z. But you've seen them on the range, and sometimes I will walk past people and I'll go, getting on well? Is that gonna? And you see them sort of go, oh right, I've got to go back into.
So you know, I like to throw a couple of curveballs. Is that the fault of the player or the coach? If the player's not following out the coach's practice plan, or how has it not been communicated properly? Do you think I'm a big one? You know, I think after we use obviously Pro Agenda as our communication tool with students after lessons, and you know, the amount of times that maybe we don't spend enough time with that particular system showing the student how it works in the session. I do watch some of our coaching team, and I do wonder whether we actually should be always allocating 3, 4, 5 minutes at the end of every session.
I try and stop sort of 5 minutes for the end, as I'm making mental notes, and just go through it with pupils and say, look, this is what, with Pro Agenda, you can put videos on there, you can compare stuff, like it does everything. And if you speak to one of my pupils, it'd be quite interesting actually to get one of my pupils on and do a podcast with them. And I always say, are you sure you know what you're doing? And they're like, yeah, are you definitely sure? So you can do it. And like, yep, got it. And sometimes you'll say it to them and you know that they're just, yeah, because they've got to get away or something. But it's just trying to have that communication between player, pupil, whatever you want to describe them as, and the coach.
I'm just really fascinated by it, because I think there's something that we don't talk about enough as coaches. We don't talk enough about how we support players in between the session. We work hard to get you guys coaching a lot of students. We work hard on trying to fit students into diaries. But I just wonder sometimes how much the coaching team is actually communicating with the student. You know, one of my pet hates, you know this, because we've talked about it a lot. One of my pet hates is when a student comes back in for a lesson and the first question the coach asks is, how are you getting on? You know, for me, you should already have the answers to that question way before that session, because especially if it's a new student, right? But that level of communication is something that I think students are not necessarily aware that they need. And I'm not sure coaches all the time are aware how to give it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that as well with pupils, I think sometimes they feel uncomfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. And they sort of, I don't know, he's told me that. They've told me how to do this, or I should remember how to do that. Again, that's what I have had pupils contact me and said, what is it I was supposed to do? And I question myself and think, did I explain that properly? Did I? And yeah. But that's why I will stop at the end of the session and just go through. And it's dead easy on Pro Agenda. You can literally take a picture, you can take a video, you can pop it in, and you can put some notes to it. This is what I want you to do, blah, 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 blah. I'll put something in there so they can sit and remember it.
Yeah, I mean, I love the tech. I just wonder sometimes whether it's worth a text or a phone call, just something even, you know, almost sometimes this stuff is too clever. And maybe a direct communication is sometimes. I'm just really interested, because for me, you know, we always want to improve, and we want our coaching team to constantly deliver a better service and a better learning experience. And we want players, at the end of the day, we want golfers enjoying their golf more.
Yeah.
I think, you know, this sort of time gives us a great opportunity to, and that not just you and I, but the entire coaching staff, and kind of question how we communicate with students after, in between, before a lesson. You know, I've always wondered what goes out to a student, you know, the day before. Yes, we send a reminder of please be X at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But actually, should there be a little 3 second, three question quiz or question that they give you, whether that's on text or WhatsApp, that actually it helps you as a coach
get a heads up quicker, yeah.
Plan quicker, you know. All of a sudden, if you knew that, you know, Joe Smith was, you know, played great on Saturday, but really struggled from 60 yards and in, your kind of whole lesson plan strategy might change. You might be planning to take him out on the par three course and work on 60 yards and in with his lob wedge or whatever, rather than waste 15, 20 minutes of the session, sort of him sort of dribbling and drabbling and telling you what to do. I also think it changes the perspective of what a golf lesson looks like.
Massively. I think from when I first started coaching to how I coach now, that has changed for me drastically in terms of you look at someone, hit three or four balls and they hit a few more for me and you're trying to like get on it straight away. Where yeah. I see myself now, there's more talking at the start of the session and they will be hitting shots and then you're slowing it down and you're questioning the player. One of my great favourite ones is, that is when you talk to golfers. And it's more based around, I suppose it is for us. I use it only because I'm thinking of one example, but based around like ladies coaching or seniors coaching, and they really bad round, they're hitting it all over the place and they're hitting it left and they're hitting it right because they haven't hit all the fairways. They haven't hit it really straight. But when you actually analyse it properly and look at why they're not scoring, because at the end of the day, that's what they're trying to achieve, a better score. And it's not the fact that they're hitting it left a little bit and right a little bit and they're losing control of the ball. It's the fact that they're not hitting the quality of the strikes, not good enough all the time. So Mary, who comes in, does hit it 100 yards max of her driver and she's hit it a little bit offline, but she's hitting it poorly. Get working on that strike and getting the strike up and more consistent. All of a sudden, she's hitting more greens. She's taking less shots to get to the green, taking less putts, and she scores better. So that side of it, of understanding what the problem actually is, I think is key and really identifying that.
I'm going to throw my second curveball at you. You said something in there that what players really want is better score. Do you really think that sometimes? Like, do you really think that players know what they want?
I think if you said to every single golfer, I was going to say walks on that tee this afternoon, but they won't be doing that. If you said to every single golfer, you're going to walk on that tee today, you can shoot your best score. Do you want to do it? Yes or no?
Yeah, I'd agree. I would think if you directed their question in that and you gave them a yes, no answer, I'm asking is what if you went with an open-ended question to most of your, what are you looking to achieve from golf lessons?
Yeah.
The answers you will get will be consistency. I want to hit it further. I want to hit it straighter. With no real understanding of how that affects them on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday morning. And I think as much as, yes, as coaches, we think players think like us, and yes, score is important, I think sometimes qualifying and really spending half an hour with a student to dig into what they need to do to achieve that best score. You know, if you've got a guy that's told you, you know, on the lesson tee, he wants to hit, you know, Dean, I want to hit it more consistently. You go, cool. Why? Why? You know, are you going to get an answer, which is because I want to
play better? People use that, come up with it. If you ask them in it, and I know certainly for a fact that if you ask people, new students, what they want to achieve, what is it they're looking for? And I would say 95% of the time, people say, I want to be more consistent.
Yeah.
More consistent at what?
Yeah.
At what is it you want to, but in there, I think when you look at it in their way of saying that, what they're trying to say is they want to be more consistent, so they hit it straighter, they hit it better, they hit more greens, they hit more fairways, and that's my thought. Whether that's true or not,
do you know what? That's just giving me a really, you know, I'm thinking here, like we've got a bundle of golfers sitting at home now watching reruns of the 1982 Masters.
Get them on. I'm sure I can get a couple to come and do it.
I think we need to go further than that, mate. I think I'm just sitting here thinking is actually we need to do some sort of live chat with a bucket load of golfers in the next few days, and we invite them to listen to and kind of talk to these people. One of the things these golfers should be doing at this point is maybe thinking, well, how do I actually analyze my golf game, right? How do I, is my chipping that bad? And what does bad look like for my handicap or the level of golf I want to play? If you've got a golfer that plays off 22 and wants to play off 16, really getting them to understand how they figure out which part of the game they need to spend most of their time. One of the things I was taught a few years ago was a lot of the best players in the world, they drill down into super strengths, right? Yeah. So they're not working on every single part of their game.
No.
They're working on the one or two games that they are constantly strengthening, the one or two areas that they're exceptional at, and then exploiting that within a strategy.
Being really good at one area.
Yeah, one or two, right? So I just wonder if when we look at this consistency, for me, consistency relates to average. I don't really want anyone being average. I want you either being really, really good at something or just kind of just getting away from it and not worrying about it. And just wonder whether these golfers, you know, that are going to maybe listen into this podcast should be sitting at home with a blank bit of paper thinking, well, actually, if you had to go 1 to 10, what's your top strength? What's your number one strength? What is the one thing that if we took it away tomorrow, you would never be able to play any good golf, right? All the way down to what's your least important skill that you never really need to use, the high lob over a bush you use once around, but yet you come to a golf lesson and ask Dean to teach you how to hit the high lob over a bush for 6 hours. You know, I wonder whether what we can help golfers do in this next 2 weeks is maybe make their time with the coaching staff way more effective. You know, so you guys, when you get your students on the lesson tee, they've already got this 2 weeks of sitting, doing nothing, thinking about their golf, saying, actually, you know, why don't we work on driving? Right? What are we going to work on? We want to get another 8 yards out of your driver, or 22 yards out of your fairway. I don't know, right? We've got to get your stock shot shape to a draw, Mary, off 36. You know, whatever it may be. I just wonder if we can drill down a bit deeper and kind of in this period where golfers aren't actually hitting shots, we could kind of put something together that where they can really talk to us live. Because these are great and I love recording podcasts and love people listening in. But actually, to be able to help questions would be great. You know, we could always video it from a podium in your house, a bit like Boris does with the media.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think we might have to tame the children down because they're getting a little bit feral outside at the moment. But
I think we also might have to rope someone in who's better on technology than you or I. But yeah, it's fascinating. I think what's really interesting is how, as a coach, you also change when you work at a driving range, purely as a driving range, and at a golf course. The client is very different. The player is very different. The atmosphere is very different. The entire coaching environment completely changes. And I think coaches, you know, you have to be aware of that as a coach. And as a player, I think you have to be even more aware that it's too easy to go and stand in our nice warm swing studio with TrackMan on and do a swing lesson, where actually the most effective session might have been getting out and getting cold on the par three in the mud, you know.
The difference between open and closed environment is huge. And how many players do you know that can swing it great on the range and hit the shots that you're trying to achieve, and then they'll come back in? And I don't know, I've had it.
Me, isn't it?
the week before we were told to stop. One particular client, and he had a fantastic lesson, like really, 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 like huge. And he was ecstatic. And I said to his nephew, I said, how did you get on the other day when you played? He's like, oh, yeah, he really struggled. And I'm like, how? He's like 1,000% better. But yeah, getting them in the actual environment they need to be is, I think, is definitely something to.
I think players need to be much more aware of what's going on in terms of, you know, we put this emphasis on players. And I still don't think coaches collectively, and I don't think our coaching staff, you know, me included, we work hard enough to support a practice session. You know, and I don't think we allow the student to realise how important the in between time between sessions is.
On the flip side of that, you've also got a lot of golfers that come in for a golf lesson. They don't practice. They'll go and play on Saturday and Sunday, but they don't practice in between. They don't want to. So we have to take that into account as well. It is, what can you do? And I get it sometimes. You can assess sometimes when students come in and you're coaching them, that you know they're not going to practice and you know they're not going to do any exercises that you give them because they don't want to. So that's when you're faced with, right, what can I do? It's going to make the biggest impact on changing ball flight or making you more consistent with your ball striking. And I think if we're honest, that's quite a large percentage of people that today's golf coach is coaching.
Yeah, I don't disagree, mate. I think it's a really, really important point that you've just raised, is that the stark reality, I think it comes back to what we were talking about a minute ago, which is the player needs to understand what they're trying to achieve and make their time with you as a coach or on the range, whichever, incredibly effective. But yeah, people won't practice, people don't practice, but there's some people that do, and I think that's up to us as coaches to really dig down and kind of figure out who we have in front of us and either give them the, you know, there's a real weird thing in the golf industry, isn't there, that, you know, and golfers may listen to it, that quick fixes don't work. Well, they do for Pete if he's hitting the shanks and he wants to play better on Saturday. A quick fix is a pretty good tool.
It is the skill. I think it's something as a golf pro doing your PGA and coming out of your PGA and going out into the big bad world, when you're faced with somebody, maybe that's an area where education wise that we need to spend some more time with up and coming professionals, where they are sort of modelled in, right, this is what's going to happen, this is a structured plan, this is what you're going to do. Well, when you see Margaret that walks in, you haven't seen her at all, and it's like, right, what do I do now that's going to make the biggest impact for her? You know she's not going to practice, so there's no point giving her loads of drills. You can give her pointers and tips, but like you said, that fast fix mentality is there and burning alive.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think we forget that not everyone's a tour player. No. Not everyone has the ambition to be a tour player. And therefore, realistically, what do we need to do? Well, we need to make sure that golfers enjoy golf.
Yeah.
And golfers keep wanting to play golf. And
as a coach, I'm sure you get nothing more. Not that you do that much coaching now, but when you did get Mary, who come in and wanted a quick fix and you helped her, and she comes in and sees you a week later and she goes, oh, brilliant, I've shot my best ever score. As a coach, you feel great, but obviously you've made her week, her day, her year, whatever it is.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and for me, Mary's going to keep playing golf, isn't she?
Yeah,
and enjoying it. And we want as many golfers, you know, we're going to walk back after this period, whether it's 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, we're going to go back into the golf world. And it's going to be a very, very different landscape. And we're going to need people that actually maybe appreciate golf a little bit more. I think that's what you're going to see. You know, being able to walk around 4 or 5 miles, sorry, on a nice sunny day, probably is not going to get taken for granted. And we're probably not going to hear the moans and the groans that we maybe did. No. It won't last long. It'll last 3 months and then they'll be all moaning again. But I think the reality is there is going to be a very different landscape. And I think what we've got to do is sometimes we almost need to think as golfers as a golf session, sometimes as a pit stop. You know, you think about, high performance Formula One car, you know, they get their tires changed in 3 seconds and they're off and out, right? Now, I'm not saying that Mary's she's not a McLaren by any means, right? But I think sometimes they want that little nugget, that little bit of feel good factor, that little
Yeah,
thing that helps them hit it better
100%.
tomorrow, and then we're off and running again. And they kind of want to hit the ground running and off they go. And they don't want to spend hours and hours of rebuilding. And I think what's really important that the listeners kind of understand from our conversation here is that we really need to understand who they are as golfers and who they
Yeah.
are as people and what they want to, how much not practice time do they want to put in? What do they want to get out of it? But let the coaches really kind of help guide the areas that they can work on, you know, narrower and deeper rather than this kind of broad approach of let's be average at everything. I think that's really, really important that we, you know, we've got colleagues, haven't we, that are phenomenal. I don't know if we should say his name, but we've got guys that can absolute stripe it off the tee and fairway. And you know, me and you have played with him, and I haven't seen many people hit it as good as him off the tee or the fairway. But my 3-year-old's better at chipping. But let's be honest, he doesn't work at it. And he knows he's rubbish at it, so he finds a way around not using it. And I
Cool
think
cutting.
when you get a golfer of that standard, realizing that that's possible, then I think, you know, every golfer of 24 to plus four should be using the same methodology and the same idea. I just, it's something that I think the listeners kind of need to take away from that. You need to be thinking about, do I need to fix this problem? Or can I work on a strength, get my strength stronger and work around the ability not to not chip, whatever it may be.
I think if they're and people are listening to this now, I think they are going to identify themselves and areas. They'll go, yeah, that's me. I'm really good at driving the ball, but I'm rubbish from 60 yards. And they will work at that. And under a pressure situation, if they've got to hit that last tee shot down the 18th and hit it to the right hand side of the bunker, they feel confident. Where is if they've got to lay up to 60 or 70 yards, they're probably going to try and knock it as close as they can or purposely lay back. So yeah, I think there's a huge amount of people listening to this now, or if they are listening to it, that would agree with that they'll say, yeah, that is me, but don't want to do anything about it.
Well, hey, listen, it's been nice to talk to you in week one of isolation. I think what we'll do is we'll get you on again next week and we'll chew the fat about something else and we'll have a whinge and a gripe next week and
Sound like me.
it'll be good. But I think what we'll try and do over the next couple of weeks is definitely get some Facebook Live stuff. So if you are listening, if you have got friends that are golfers, follow us on Facebook. We will be putting up some information about how you can join us on YouTube or Facebook Live or something like that, and we can kind of take some questions and go from there. So, anything else you want to add, Dean?
No.
No? Cool.
Keep safe and keep washing your hands.
Keep safe, everyone. Take care. Hey guys, thanks for listening in. I know it's tough at the moment, stuck indoors, not being able to play golf, but we're going to be throwing out some more podcasts, some videos, some blogs, so you can to get involved in all of this, you can go over to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, follow us at afgolfstore.co.uk. You can log in, read our blogs on our website, and sign up to our newsletter. So thanks for listening, and do share with your friends.